Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Well, good morning. Well, it is really a joy to be here this morning. Audrey and I had a tremendous time of being away, and yet we're always so thankful to come home and be with you. You were certainly in our hearts and thoughts and prayers as we were away. I was grateful to everyone who helped out and looked after so many things. Man, there's a lot that went on while we were gone, and all kinds of people were busy, and there's babies that have been had, been born. And are Albert and Liesl here? No, they're planning on being here. They've got a brand new little baby, and we're so excited for them. And I'm grateful for Chris and Carolyn for sharing the messages and all the oversight, and so many people helping in so many ways. It's good to be back, though. We were in Phoenix and California for a little bit, and we sure walked a lot. Got a little Fitbit, and there were lots of steps that went on. One day we walked 22 kilometers. It was so nice and warm to be outside, very similar to here. The cactuses and palm trees outside, I'm thinking about, though, how much we walked and enjoyed that our life in Christ is often described, or sometimes described as a journey or as a pathway, as walking. I want to talk about that this morning, walking with Christ. There are phrases that are found in Scripture that talk about the steps of the righteous, or this is the way, walk in it. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter, following him, being led by him. So I want to talk about walking. This world, I'm sure that you've experienced this as well. This world does all it can to press us into its mold. Walk this way, talk this way, act this way, think this way. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. This is acceptable. This isn't acceptable. And there's a mold that it tries to squeeze us into, a whole blueprint laid out for us, pressure to squeeze us into its mold. But we're not to follow the pattern that the world sets for us, right? Amen? that's not the pattern. That's not the schematics. That's not the blueprints that we are to be pressed into or to follow. And sometimes it costs us to live counterculturally. There's a price to be paid to say, I refuse to live in a world system as the world does. Sometimes there's a price to pay. It might cost you a promotion, might cost you a job, might cost you your reputation, or it might even cost real persecution. And it's not always easy, but may we live our lives in such a way that it demonstrates that this world is not our home. That we're passing through. This isn't all there is, this temporal life that we face. And may that be demonstrated in our lives, how we live in front of people. This past week, when we got home, my aunt had passed away while we were away. We gathered together in Edmonton for the memorial gathering. And of all of the things that we were thankful for, it was that she had invited Christ into her life. And that makes all the difference. And so when she fell asleep, I love that phrase, when she fell asleep at 94 years old, she awoke fully and completely in the presence of Jesus. And she's better than she's ever been. And so is Brian's friend. Better than they ever been. And that's where we want to be. And we're jealous when we walk through some of the stuff that we walk through in this life. We look forward to that day when we all get to be together again. But before that day takes place, before we're all together with the Lord, in this world, there's lots of beauty to enjoy. There's lots of marvelous things to enjoy. And there's lots of heartaches and sorrows and turmoil and struggles that we go through. But in all of it, in the great moments, in the epic moments, and in the horrific ones, there's a world system that is trying to shape us. Whatever we face and whenever we face it, we're instructed as those who are spiritually alive to demonstrate that Christ has made a difference in our lives, and now we're to walk in the Spirit. And so that's what I'd like to talk to us about this morning, walking in the Spirit. I guess I've defined walking in the Spirit as really is living in an awareness and a sensitivity to the presence of God. We sang that just moments ago. May we be more aware of your presence and more sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Living in close relationship with God, that's walking in the Spirit. Living in close relationship with him is made possible because of what Jesus did for us. We just celebrated that moments ago. Because of what Jesus did, we get to live close to God. And we live not only in communication, but we live in communion. There's a big difference. The Old Testament is full of communication to God, prayer. And we have the ability, all kinds of people have the ability to pray and communicate with God, but he's called us so much more than just to communicate. He's called us to walk in communion and to live in communion and to live in nearness and in closeness. We've been made spiritually alive, and so we live as spiritual people. And God's word explains to us some of the things that will show up in our lives as we're walking in the Spirit. Some of the things that will be demonstrated as we're spiritually alive, spiritually aware of his presence, his power, and his purpose for each day of our lives. It's not spooky, but it is. It's not spooky, and for those who are just really extra sensitive, it's not spooky, but it is undeniably spiritual that we are spiritually alive, and so walking closely with him will allow us to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit, to his voice, to his leading, to his nudging, to his direction. And we ask him to lead us, and we trust that he will. Paul will write to a group of people, a group of churches, and a whole area of Galatia, and he says that there will be a natural outflow. If you do this, if you walk in the Spirit, there's going to be a natural outflow that will take place. In fact, it's probably more aptly described as a spiritual or a supernatural outflow of this relationship. And so, the next slide. There we go. walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love how the New Living Translation says it this way. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you're not walking in the Spirit, that will be demonstrated in your life too. When it talks about the evidence or the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you're not walking in the Spirit, it will show up. If you are, it will show up. If you're not, it will show up. And Paul will begin a list of some four examples of things that would be contrary to someone who is walking in the Spirit. And he'll give a list, and it's not an exhaustive list. But he says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, such as, and begins to list them. But then he shows up in verse 22 and 23, and he says this. So instead of these bad things showing up in your life, some really good things are going to take place while you're walking in the Spirit. He said, it wasn't just try so hard to not do that stuff. He said, no, instead, do this. Focus on walking in the Spirit. Focus on being close to God, walking in a nearness to him. And there's some things that are going to be popping out of your life. Things like this, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, or evidence. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. One of the marks of your life, one of the marks of my life, of our life, of someone who is walking in the Spirit will be that you're a loving person. The evidence of someone who's walking in the Spirit, close to God, nearness, will be a demonstration of love. And it certainly makes sense, because Jesus said of all the things that are important, number one and number two, love God and love people. Here are the greatest things that we can be about. What are the greatest commandments? Love God and love people. And so as we get close to God, and as we're walking in a nearness and a communion with him, there will be a love that begins to shine through our lives, a love for people. In fact, there is such a high value placed on love in Scripture that it tells us that even if we can speak in heavenly languages, If we can have faith that can move mountains, if we give of ourselves sacrificially and generously and above and beyond, even giving our lives for the sake of others, if we do it with a lack of love, we're missing the point. But if we have not love, it profits me nothing. If we have not love, it's a lot of noise. And those things, don't we want to be about that? To be able to have faith, and we sang about God moving mountains, and he still does that today, and we believe in his power, and we stand on his promises. But Jesus so often was talking about what's going on inside, not outside. It's not the Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? Yeah, you did a lot, but you never knew me. There wasn't this closeness. And he talks so much about love. I was listening to a preacher in a class years ago, and he was saying that, I don't know if you ever experienced this in school or not, but sometimes what happened to him is that there was a deadline for an assignment, and he hadn't really done it until the last weekend before the assignment was due. He had lots of time to do it, but it was the old cramming at the end and getting it done. And so one weekend it was worth a big portion of his grade. And so he spent the Friday and Saturday and Sunday and, you know, the all-nighters and the caffeine and Red Bull. And you know, he was going to get it done. He got it done, and he submitted the paper. And sometime later, as the professor was handing out the results and the papers, he got his back. And it said three things on the paper. It said, good research. Yeah. Excellent content. Well written. Good research, excellent content, well written. And then in a red pen, there was a big F and circled twice. And the comments after it were this: this was not the assignment. he missed the assignment. He missed what he was supposed to. He misread the question. He misunderstood the assignment. And so on his paper, good research, excellent content, well written, F and circled twice in big red pen. This was not the assignment. And when Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. It's not about just all the things we do. You're a person walking close with the Spirit. I don't want to miss out on our assignments, that we would love one another. So we're following him and walking in close relationship with him. There will be an outflow of love in our lives. And it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, hey, I feel a lot of love in this room. But it's a demonstration of what real love is, about commitment and about care. Love suffers long and is kind. It's not selfish and rude. And it shows up in our lives. I read this quote this week. Love at first sight is easy to understand. It's when two people have been looking at each other for years, it becomes a miracle. I hope that my connection, my communion with God, my walking in the Spirit is so authentic. Listen to this. Is so authentic. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit is so authentic that there's a shaping and a reshaping of my heart that takes place, and it shows up in the way I treat people. And it shows up in the way that people can tell I love them, that we love them. Doesn't mean we'll always agree. Doesn't mean we'll always see the things the same way, or there won't be strong words, but it does mean that it will be so evident that our love is not in question. I love you. We love each other. I wonder if that's the mark of a mature Christian. It has more to do with it's obvious that we're walking with God. Walking in the Spirit shows up how we treat one another. Walking in the Spirit shapes our values. That we're walking in the Spirit that we value people more than anything else. That people feel that they're important, that they're valued, that they're loved, and that it's evident. Well, not only is walking in the Spirit and in nearness with God show up in love, there's something that takes place in our lives in this closeness with God. I want to call it an emotion, but it's so much more than an emotion. It's a motion maybe that grows a trait, a characteristic, a pattern in our lives, and that's joy. Love and joy. When we're walking in the Spirit, there's a closeness with God. May there be a joy even in the toughest of circumstances. Because as you well know, not everything we go through in life is joyful. There are hard things and there are struggles. And yet there's an evidence, there's a demonstration, there's an overflow, there's a supernatural overflow of walking in the Spirit, of closeness with God, that there can be a joy in our lives. So we walk in the Spirit, we discover what Scripture says, that in His presence there's fullness of joy. And it's not a giddy giggle, and it's not that we're laughing our heads off all the time. It seems that there's a shaping of our focus, even a shaping of our minds, that we're not focused on temporary things. And we're able to discover that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's a deep-rooted grounding in joy that is supernatural in our lives. No matter what happens here, when things work out and when things don't work out, our joy is grounded in eternal things. Jesus said to His disciples, guys, don't let your joy be rooted even in that spirits are subject to you. Don't let it be in what you can do or what happens or what doesn't happen. Let your joy be so grounded in this that your names are written in heaven. That whatever we face in life, it's temporary. Let your joy be grounded in something that can never be taken away, that you can never lose. Just that isn't gonna, you're not gonna walk away from. No matter what happens here, rejoice in this, that you're forgiven, that you were once dead in trespasses and sin, but now you're alive to God. You're alive forever. Rejoice that in a memorial service for your aunt, that you can be sad because you're parted, but you can be full of joy because this is temporary and death does not have the final say. Jesus has risen triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. No matter what things we face, there's a joy that's resident within us, and it's not based on temporary things. We can go through some very hurtful and sorrowful things, and we do. And there are times when we don't feel joy and we don't feel joyful, but we can still possess joy. And that's more than word semantics. We can still possess joy. There, you may even be here this morning and say, I don't feel joyful. This hurts real bad. But there's a joy that goes deeper than my present feelings. There is a joy that goes deeper than my present feelings. Jesus experienced that as He was enduring the cross, who for the joy that was set before Him, a joy rooted in not the pain and the suffering and the sorrow of the betrayal and Gethsemane and the crucifixion, all of those things, He endured that, who for the joy that was set before Him, His joy was set on us, on eternity. And it wasn't in the temporal, horrific experience that He was walking through right then. There was nothing joyful about that, but He still possessed joy, who for the joy that was set before Him, because our joy isn't based on temporal things. But because it's an evidence of God's Spirit, or work of God's Spirit, something that He produces in our life, it's not something that we produce ourselves. And so I'm not inviting or asking or encouraging you to be fake or phony. How are you? Oh, just joyful. Oh, you know, this plastic, happy, 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 it's a gag. You know, let it be authentic. Have you ever taken a bite of plastic fruit? Probably not. But if you ever do, you'll quickly discover, this isn't real. This isn't good. This isn't authentic. Let's not do this again. This doesn't fit. But it's because the Spirit, His Spirit, because you're walking in the Spirit, it produces it in you. It's not something you have to work up. It's a result. Walking in close relationship with God's Spirit, leading us, and as He does, He shapes our heart with a love for people, and He deposits a supernatural joy in us that will bring such strength in your life that no one can take away. Doesn't that sound marvelous? To be able to be walking in the Spirit so close to God that there is a love that's supernatural, that we're able to love the unlovely, we're able to love people who are mean to us and unkind to us, we're able to let His love shine through us, and that there's a joy that no matter what we face, there's a joy that we possess that can't be shaken and can't be stolen. And then the last thing this morning, lest you think I'm going through all nine, we're going to do some more next week. The last thing, at least for this morning, Is there something that will overshadow our hearts, overshadow in a good way? And that's peace. Love and joy and peace. There are a lot of things that go on in this world for good reason to cause us fear or anxiety. There's disasters and violence. There's accidents. There's illness. So Audrey and I were traveling in the States. Neither one of us know how we missed the van or how it missed us. Traveling at speed limits 80, we were just coming on an on-ramp onto the highway, getting up to speed. A van pulled into our lane. We have no idea how we missed it. All of a sudden, it was just in front of us. I mean, and there's lots of stories where the van hits and, you know, all of that. But we could live in fear. It shook us both. And that was close. You can live in fear and anxiety with disasters, violence, accidents, illness. But even though there's a storm all around us, that storm doesn't need to be within us. Right? This world is spinning out of control, but that doesn't need to be mean that we're out of control. We live in an awareness of His presence. Awareness in the presence of the living God, it shows up in our lives with such great peace. It's not a peace that shapes our mind. It's a peace that bypasses our mind. It's a peace that gets a hold of us, that when it doesn't make sense that we would have so much peace, we still have it because it's a supernatural demonstration of God's Spirit in our lives. We're walking closely with Him. We're walking with a nearness with Him, that there's a love and a joy and a peace that guards our hearts and minds. It's an amazing gift God gives us as we live in His presence. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." I'm not even sure that the world gives peace. That not as the world does do I give it. It's amazing when I talk to people, and perhaps you have this same experience, when you ask, how are you? One of three answers shows up, probably with the most frequency. Number one, I'm fine. Which is just, hi, nice to see you, how are you? Fine, we're all fine. The other two things, I'm busy, or I'm stressed. Oh man, I got so much, there's so much responsibility, I'm out of time, I'm so busy. I wonder what would it be like if we were to be able to say to each other, how are you? To say, I'm full of joy. How are you? I am walking in God's peace. And maybe that wouldn't be culturally, that wouldn't fly. I remember saying to someone, how are you? And they said, oh, I'm blessed, I'm walking in the favor of the Lord. Okay, you know, I thought you were going to say fine. And may that be true. And so I'm not looking for us to say, oh, I'm full of God's peace and I'm full of God's joy. But may that, whether we articulate it like that or not, may it be true that there's a love overflowing in our hearts. There's a joy that is unshakable and unstealable, and that there is a peace that we walk in and that we live in because it's rooted not in temporary things. And even though I said that peace bypasses our mind, it's a peace beyond understanding. It's not an out-of-mind experience. It's not a denial of the circumstance. No, this is happening. This is taking place. This is what I'm facing. But there still is a peace. And it's not rooted in what God can do. It's not solely rooted in what God can do. It's rooted in who God is. That I know Him. God is able. But even if He doesn't, it's going to be okay. The three young men facing the king who's throwing them into the fiery furnace. Let it be known to you, O king, we don't bow to you. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we don't bow. Even if He doesn't deliver us, God is able. We're believing in His power and His promises. We're believing in the breakthrough, all those things. But even if He doesn't, we're going to be okay because we know who He is. We know Him. We're thankful. We're thankful for his power. But you know, sometimes our prayers don't get answered in ways that we hope they would. Sometimes we go through things that we think we would have or should have been spared from, and they catch us off guard. And yet we can go through those things because we have a peace that's supernaturally deposited in our lives because we're walking with Him and we know who He is. I know in whom I have believed, and He is good. So we're thankful for His power. but we live in his presence. This is why we have peace. He said, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. When you walk through the fire, when you walk through the waters, fear not, I've redeemed you, I've ransomed you, I've called you by name. You, child, you are mine. And we don't have to live in fear. So may we walk so close to God, walk in communion with him, not just communication, but walk so close to him that there's a love that overflows our lives. There is a joy unshakable and unstealable, and there is a peace that passes all understanding, that we can go through anything with the peace of God because we know in whom we have believed. We walk closely in his presence. Let me close this with this. We'll pray. Those are the results. Love, joy, peace. Those are the results. Those are not the goals. Those are the reasons. The goal is walk in the Spirit. The goal is, it's not, I'm just going to try and be more loving. I'm going to try and have more joy. I'm going to try and have more peace. Don't do that. Instead, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the nearness and a closeness with God, sensitive to his leading, his voice, his direction. Do that, and this will be produced in you. There will be an overflow. We're not focusing on trying to on focusing on love, joy, and peace. We're focusing on walking in the Spirit and in nearness. There will be such a transformation that takes place in our lives. Corinthians tells us this, as we behold him, we are changed. So you want more love in your life, more joy, more peace? Come before the Lord as we behold him. Know him. No, don't just know about him, but know him. Be aware of his nearness. And may those things be worked in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can live in communion, not just communication. And even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, and this is not our home, we're so grateful. We pray you'd help us to live as those who demonstrate that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And may there be great evidence in our lives of love and joy and peace. Father, this morning, where there are points where we're not loving, we pray you'd forgive us and you would work in us. God, for each person here this morning who's overwhelmed with a sorrow or a sadness, that joy seems so distant. They possess it, but they're not experiencing it. I pray, oh God, you'd help lift their eyes and simply be able to rejoice that we're your kids, that they're your son or your daughter, your child. And there would be a working of joy in their lives. God, for every struggle that we have, may there be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. I pray that would just be worked, and especially those this morning who are struggling with sorrow and sadness. Thank you that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I pray as you walk through the sorrow and the sad times with them, God, may there be an awakening. Like those who were even in a dream, may they wake up to discover your joy today. That there's still joy that's available and deposited in their lives. May they even be surprised by a presence of joy that they weren't expecting. God, for those who are in such turmoil or confusion or fear, there's no way, no entrance, no access.